So we say in the Haggadah, we quote the verse, Va'omer lach b'damaye chayi, Va'omer lach b'damaye chayi. And we say, by your blood you will live. And this is the same words that we also recite on the time of a bris milah. So today's comment begins with an analysis of the Mechilta. The Mechilta is the Medrash Halacha that accompanies the Sfarim of Bereishis and Shmois. Issa b'Mechilta, the Mechilta tells us, incidentally Rashi quotes this on the Pasuk, Omer Reb Masya ben Charosh said, Reb Masya ben Charosh was a great sage of Jerusalem who was sent on Shlichus to Rome because the Roman Jewish community needed a rabbi. So Reb Masya ben Charosh went, and that's where he spent the rest of his life, ministering to the Jewish community. He was a totally self-sacrificial individual who devoted his life to the welfare of others. And he said, when it came the time that the Jewish people should be redeemed, so Almighty God said, the Holy One, blessed be, said, the week has come, the time has arrived to fulfill the promise that I made to Abraham that I will redeem his children. But they did not have any mitzvahs they were involved with. We got a problem. I got to take these people out, but they don't have any wherewithal. They don't have any ability. They don't have any mitzvahs. You need to have mitzvahs. The mitzvahs create the mechanism for us to be able to experience Hashem's blessings. This is what the meaning of at orim ve'erya. We were naked, totally stripped. So that could be on a literal level also, that as slaves we were beaten and broken and naked, but everything in the Torah has multiple meanings. So if it says that at orim ve'erya, the Torah makes a point of talking about our lack of clothes, then there has to be also a deeper message. And so Reb Masya ben Charosh said, this is a spiritual message in addition to the physical reality. And as such, said Reb Masya, v'nosan lohem shtei mitzvahs. So Hashem gave them two mitzvahs. And both of the mitzvahs, interestingly, are connected to blood. There's the Dam Pesach, there's the blood of the Passover offering, and there's the Dam Milah, there's the blood of the circumcision of the Milah, the covenant of Avraham Avinu. It's interesting that at the Seder we use red wine, there's an emphasis on red wine, and according to some of the Rishonim, there's an idea that it represents the blood. There's two schools of thoughts in the Rishonim. One school of thought is that it's the blood of Pesach and the blood of Korban Pesach. Another school of thought is that it's the blood of the Makkos, or the blood of the suffering of the Jewish people. So there's various, so to speak, bloods that I talked about. And probably this is where our enemies got the idea that they can make a blood libel against us. Because since we have this idea of blood, and we have the red wine, and we talk about blood, so it was unnatural. When you're trying to create some kind of story, it was an easy, it fits, you take it, like Rashi tells us, quoting our sages, every lie needs a little bit of truth. So there is a little bit of truth. There's a representation of blood. There is no truth, chas v'shalom, that we drink anybody's blood. But that was easy. From the little bit of truth. And that's why, actually, Magen Avraham says in many communities, people stopped using red wine. It's just too dangerous. Anyway, but the point here is there were two mitzvahs given, and the two mitzvahs are connected to blood, and that's the meaning of the pasuk. Va'omer lach b'damaye chayi, said by your blood you will live. What's by your blood you will live? That the blood of mitzvahs is what brought the Jewish people salvation. The blood of Korban Pesach and the blood of Milah. So the Rebbe asks a simple question. Nishelas Hashayla. Madua nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu li Yisrael davke shtei mitzvahs. So why do you get two mitzvahs? When you're naked, you have no clothes. You have a mitzvah, you're not naked anymore. If the point was being naked, one mitzvah would suffice. If the point is being well-dressed, two mitzvahs doesn't work either. It doesn't say they weren't well-dressed. It says they were naked. Naked means no clothes. The moment they have a mitzvah, they're not naked anymore. Remember, this was not going to be a meritocracy where the Jewish people were going to earn their stripes and they were going to deserve to leave Mitzrayim. That was not going to happen. It's impossible. In a week, how righteous could they be? The reason they're being redeemed is because Hashem promised Avraham Avinu they could be redeemed. But there has to be something. Yeah, you got to have some kind of frame to hold the blessing, something to be able to hold the... Okay, so a mitzvah. You shouldn't be naked. Okay, you shouldn't be naked, so one mitzvah does it. And if you're worried about being well-dressed, or you're worried about accoutrements, or worried about being well-coiffed spiritually, then why'd you stop at two? Mimanafshach. If the purpose of these mitzvahs was to take them out of a situation where they were stripped naked, there was a spiritual nudity, so one mitzvah, you're no longer naked. If God was trying to give them a wardrobe, we should have many merits, and the many merits should earn us this, these special blessings. That's not very many. This is two mitzvahs. Ha'inyan yuvan, this will be understood. La'er divrei Rashi, alakasov mishchu ukechulachem. So right after Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Pharaoh about Makas Bechedus, and he informs him that this is what's going to happen, Vayetzi Bechoreaf, he leaves in anger, and then the next part of the Chumash, the Torah turns to the business of how we are going to observe the first Pesach, yet in Mitzrayim. And we hear the details of taking the animal, and the animal had to be tied to the bed for 4 days, and then the animal had to be slaughtered, and then the blood had to be dashed on the doorposts. We hear all these details, and how you should eat the Korban Pesach, and so on and so forth. Some of those details are relevant for posterity. Some of those details were only important for Pesach Mitzrayim. We talked about that last night, why there was blood on the doorpost the first time, and not blood on the doorpost in subsequent years. So the Pasuk says, Mishchu ukechulachem. Mishchu means like to draw forth, go and take. Kechulachem means go purchase. So on a literal level, Mishchu ukechulachem means those who have sheep, go take from your flock, Mishchu. Those who don't have sheep, go to the sheep market and buy yourself a sheep. That's on a literal level what it means. However, Rashi doesn't stop there. And he says, isn't that obvious? If you have sheep, you can take a sheep. If you don't have sheep, go buy a sheep. Moshe had to tell him how to do it? Did he tell him to put the shoes on first? Did he tell him, don't forget to take your wallet if you're buying it? Did he tell him, haggle and get a good deal? figure it out yourself. Like you need to get a sheep. That's your mitzvah. How you get it, I really don't care. Obviously, you're going to be honest, and you're going to do what the honest means. Either you have a sheep. You buy it, or you buy a sheep. Like, what's it's davar pashut? The Torah doesn't tell us how we should get an esrog. You have an esrog tree in your backyard, so go pick it. You don't have a tree in your backyard, so buy it to somebody who does have an esrog tree. Why is that relevant? So Rashi says, shayu shtufim be'elilim, that they were steeped in all this whole, in these gods, and they have various deities. Omar Lahem, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, Mishchu ukechulachem, which means, Mishchu yedechem me'elilim, drop your hold, you're holding fast to all these deities, this idolatry. Drop the hold on the idolatry. And instead, kechulachem tzein shel mitzvah. And there's a very specific message here, because our sages tell us that Elil Mitzrayim, that the idol of Egypt was the lamb. Some things the goat also. But the point, these little animals, that was considered to be the deity. That's what they worshipped. Like in parts of the world, they have a sacred cow, they had a sacred lamb. And actually, this was appropriated by another faith system many, many years later about the whole business with the lamb and the blood. So this business is that where they would deal with sheep, how would they look at it? If you would take a sheep, up till this point, what would it mean to take a sheep? If you were going to make special attention for a sheep, that would mean you would worship the sheep. It's like people today with a dog. I'm not saying they worship the dog, but if they take a dog, this is my dog now. He's my Rexy, my whatever, and he becomes part of the family, and they put a little sticker on the back of the minivan for him, and it's a you have to put him in the family pictures, and sometimes you call the people's house, and says, hi, you've reached so-and-so and so-and-so, and Rexy the dog. When the dog returns messages. But it's like a part of life. I'm not criticizing Zunta, hey, to have five dogs, if you I don't care. But I'm just saying, just like today's day and age, person goes, he buys a dog. What's the purpose of buying a dog? People say they want companionship, friendship, it's fun, it's a nice furry thing, he showers you with love. Okay, fine. So that's why people buy a dog. In the other parts of the world, they buy a dog for lunch. Ugh, it's pretty sick, actually, but that's what happens, like when they buy a dog for fur. In this part of the world, no such thing. Somebody buys a dog, he's not planning to skin it, he's not planning to eat it, right? He's planning to love it. He's planning to make it as a pet. That's what people do. Okay. So that's how it is with a dog today. And once upon a time, in Egypt, if you bought a sheep, what would that mean? It was a deity. Deity. But don't take this personally. But imagine, take your dog and slaughter it. You're like, what are you talking about? This is my dog, okay? This is my beloved pet. I'm not saying you should slaughter your pet. I'm just saying that for the Jewish people at the time, to take the sheep, the lamb, which was like your like a god, and take a god and slaughter it. So what? Slaughter a god? Like, what are you talking about? That's impossible. Moshe Rabbeinu says, yeah, it's exactly what I said. Mishku. Don't take it the way you used to take it. Now you're taking it different. Now you're going to take it as a tzayin shel mitzvah. And what's a tzayin shel mitzvah? The tzayin shel mitzvah will be used for mitzvah purposes. And the mitzvah purposes is going to be an offering. So mikan, we see from here, shachisodin shel Yisrael ba'oisei shah, that the deficiency Jewish people had at that time, shahayu arum min ha-mitzvahs, they were, so to speak, in the euphemism, denuded or naked of mitzvahs. Hayachisodin Mishnei HaMeshorim. There was a problem on two tracks here. Number one, Lahoyo Lahem Mitzvahs. They didn't have any mitzvahs. They weren't actually doing anything positive to demonstrate the love and loyalty to Hashem. They were not actually doing anything. They didn't have any action which served as a concrete expression of their commitment as Jewish people, through which there would be, that's the vehicle or that's the mechanism through which Hashem and the Jewish people have this special relationship. You have to have something through which, the currency of a relationship, if you will. So the currency would be the mitzvahs that we do. We don't have any mitzvahs. Problem one. Problem two, it's much worse than that. Not only they didn't have any mitzvahs, they were steeped in idolatry. This is a chesaron, this is a deficiency. This is not an area of they weren't doing the right thing. This is a deficiency of they were doing the wrong thing. Their head was in the wrong place, their heart was in the wrong place, their actions were in the wrong place. And Hashem says, get away from that. Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Sur Meira Vaseh Tov. Turn away from evil and do good things. And here, this was a big problem. And as such, Lehoyo Misugolim Lihiporeid Meharasha B'Mitzrayim. They weren't even capable, in a certain sense, of just moving on. They couldn't move on. They were totally connected. This is like, you asked them to tear out a part of their life. This was the currency of life for them. So lechein nitn lehem shnei mitzvahs. They have two mitzvahs.
Why didn't they despise the Egyptian culture? They were slaves to them. I
mean, why didn't they despise the Egyptian culture? So the answer probably has something to do with the fact that you are a free-thinking Canadian, and you would be angry if somebody took away your rights, and you would say, I'm a Jew, and I'm a Canadian, and I'm a human, and whatever else you're going to say. And if somebody would take that away from you, you would be incensed, and you would make demands. But if that's how you were raised, and you're raised with this complex that you are the butt of civilization, that you are the canine, the dogs of the dregs of society, but you're part of that society, the Egyptians put a lot of work into assimilating them. Right? They really want them to be part of the Egyptian society. Like that famous teaching of make sure the boys get killed, make sure the girls live. What would that mean? There'll be no eligible men for them to marry. Eventually they'll marry Egyptian men, and this is how the Jewish people will be literally phased out. Phased out on two levels. Right? Mitzrayim is the prototype for all exiles. And some exiles, they hate us, they want to kill us physically, and some exiles, they try to cause us to assimilate. And intermarriage is not ultimately less damning than physical death, because the end result of both is no more Jewish people. It's very simple. So in Mitzrayim, there was two tracks the Pharaoh was working on. He wanted to destroy the Jewish people. He wanted to destroy the Jewish people. So if you think that there was an effort made to try to bring them, with all the torture and torment and anguish, try to make them a part of Egyptian society, think again. And think about something else. We have a rich history. And we have a background. So we're holding on to something. Here, the Jewish people, they lost it very, very quickly. They didn't have a Torah. They didn't have this national experience. It was a family. It was a family idea. People lose family things in like a generation. This used to be important to our family. All right, that's your problem, not my problem. They moved on very quickly. They assimilated. All they had was a little culture. And incidentally, culture never works. Bagels and lox Judaism, it does not last very long. The only time it ever held us, to some degree, was in Mitzrayim. What do we have? We have Jewish names. We have a Jewish language. What do we have? Jewish clothes, a Jewish buckle on a shoe. What do we have? It's like a bagel. It's nothing. Somehow it kept us to that original exile. It kept us, but it never worked again. Because after that we got the Torah. And after that there's only one way. And it's not with bagels, and even if you add lox. It's only with real Yiddishkeit. It doesn't work otherwise. So that's who they were. That's who they were. And then another thing I'll tell you is the saying Yiddish, it's like Akasha Famaisa. How could it be? Zemashaya, that's what it was. This is the reality. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was dealing with.
The Levites were practicing those stuff.
The Levites were, that's correct. The mitzvah of the covenant. was Kedela Malais Eshach Sardin Harishin. That was to fulfill the spiritual nudity on level one. Kach Shehem Lo Yiyu Reikim Mi Mitzvahs. That they shouldn't, excuse me, shouldn't be empty from not having any mitzvahs. Number two, mitzvahs ha-Pesach. The mitzvah of Pesach was Kedei Sheyisnatku, that they should truncate, dislocate, and separate themselves from Avodah Zarah, or Bitumas Mitzrayim, from the impurity of ancient Egypt. So that's the answer. Question, answer. Now, we'll try to relate this to back to us. V'hine. Shtei mitzvahs halalu, and mitzvahs klolius v'yisaydius. These mitzvahs represent far more than a tiny segment of a Jew's life. These are foundational mitzvahs, overridingly important mitzvahs. Mila hi krisas bris im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mila is, bris mila is, the covenant with Hashem. It's our covenant. As I said on the radio a few weeks ago, we're not pro-circumcision. We don't believe that it's a good medical or scientific procedure. We're not trying to get everybody to be circumcised. We are pro being Jewish. This is our covenant with Hashem. So whether or not it is helpful or not helpful, it could be proven that it's good or not proven that it's good, that's not the conversation for us. For us, this is our covenant with Hashem that we've kept now for thousands of years. So if anybody cares about us and cares about our children, as they supposedly claim to, then please look back off. Leave us alone. Like, don't try to inhibit us from our covenant. Nothing will stand between us and Hashem. You'll put us in greater danger if you force us to go underground. That's all that's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. You're never going to take us away from Bris Mila. Circumcision? I don't know. Do whatever you want. So I was once on the radio years ago, and John Oakley, what is this, Nebuchadnezzar Jew? His mother is Jewish. A big atheist. He's sitting across from it. I know he's Jewish. And we talk about circumcision. He says, well, we have to look at the statistics. The evidence is out. And I said, you know, it's interesting. We're doing this for now 3,700 years. We seem to have done pretty well. I said, in fact, you think you're a successful person, and I'm pretty sure you're circumcised, aren't you? And he started turning colors. How do you know I have a bris mila? I said, are you Jewish? He was not happy, but he also had nothing to say. but that's the emes. The emes is that the bris mila is our connection to Hashem. Kimoikin haseh, the sheep was Elul Mitzrayim, was the idol of Egypt. So l'kichasi l'karben Pesach, taking it as a carbon Pesach, was not just a little mitzvah. It was a bitui, it was a general expression of hisnatkos mukhletos m'avodah zarah. It represented and was emblematic of a totally separation, a total absolute removal of the idea of avodah zarah, which is foundational to Judaism. It's like the first two mitzvahs. Anoich Hashem Elokecha, what's the next mitzvah? Lo yilcha lehim achim, don't have any other gods. And this was how we first did it. We renounced that connection to that false deity. Shchitasei, the slaughtering of Bimkei Mavadasei, in the place of worshipping it. So not only we didn't worship, what's the polar opposite of worshipping something as a deity? That's slaughtering it, eating it. Obviously not worshipping it, eating it. Lochein hidgish ho'ikrei b'mitzvahs ha-Pesach is on Dam Pesach. That's why, Hadogah she'ikrei, the main emphasis here is on the Dam. Why in the Dam? Because the real essence of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach was mitzvah hashchita. It was all about the slaughter. Lo al ikra mitzvah. It wasn't on the mitzvah itself, the achila of the Korban Pesach. But that first year of Mitzrayim, the main thing was to eat, it was to slaughter the Korban Pesach. Dafka hashchita. It was specifically the slaughter of that animal, hamavatas as hasur mera, that demonstrated and expressed this disconnection, the turning away from evil, the isnatkos from avodah zarah. In subsequent years, the blood is not the main thing. In subsequent years, the eating of the carbon pesach was the main thing. And that's a subject for a different day. What that represents, eating of the carbon pesach. But that first year, there was a lot of emphasis on the blood, b'domayi chayi, and this idea of the blood on the doorposts. And like Rabbeinu Bechaya says over there, it says, Hashem will see the blood. He says the word ra'ah is not see. Rabbeinu Bechaya says it means ra'ui. It will be suitable. The Jewish people will be suitable. Even Rashi says that it's not, he says it's literal because Rashi follows the Pshut Lashon Mikra. But he says it's not that he's going to see the blood. He's going to see that show you asukim b'mitzvahs. The Jewish people are involved in a mitzvah. That's what this is about. This will be a demonstration of loyalty to Hashem. A demonstration of removal of previous loyalties. So for Korban Pesach, the main thing was the shechita. And we talk about shechita, which means slaughter. The main thing is the blood. Spilling the blood of the lamb. That was the main thing, that first year. Zuigamasiba, this then is also the reason Lakashale Hoya died the Pu'ulas Hashkita Atzma. It wasn't enough just to slaughter the animal. This is why, and it was only that year that the sheep had to be taken. Arba yomim ufnei hashchita. 4 days. We have no such thing. To come to the Beis HaMikdash, there was a marketplace. People bought a carbon and went straight upstairs to the Beis HaMikdash. Let's take it for 4 days. Mikivon sheyisrael hayishtufim b'aveidah zara. Because the Jewish people were steeped in this kind of idolatry. Heim nizkaku l'pe'ulu miyuchedes l'arba yom shalachana. In order to make this meaningful, they needed to actually do something unique, something special. There had to be a clear demonstration that they were separating themselves from this as a god. So that during these days, that this connection, this truncation of Avodah Zarah would be something profound and personal. It would be real and meaningful. Because it wasn't just a sheep they took and looked the other way. They had the sheep for 4 days next to them. I go back to my dog metaphor, and don't shoot me for it. But it's not just a dog somewhere. This is my dog. He's been my pet for 4 days. He brought me my slippers. And for 4 days, he went running all over the neighborhood. And now, after 4 days, and then I'm going to slaughter him? What are you talking about? He's already a member of the family. He has a sin number already. He's right? How could this be? So that was the point. The point was, it was there for 4 days. They developed a relationship, if you will, with the sheep, a fondness for the sheep, and then they go and slaughter it. Now it's also understood why this was only necessary in the first year of Pesach, and the first time when they left Mitzrayim, was not something not necessary. It did not have to be replicated in subsequent years in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. It was only that first year when they were steeped in this form of alien worship of foreign deities. There needed to be a special activity, a powerful, profound action, which would be taken in a unique way to perform this nituk, this breaking with the tumah, with the impurity of Avodah Zarah. Umikan, and from here comes, Ahira Gamli Yemeinu Ela. This now becomes a lesson in our lives. Kasher Anu Eim Dim Lufnei Agula, as we hope and pray that this is it, and we're standing on the doorpost. And before we know it, we're going to be walking across through the gates of Golos and into Geula. And we're going to go, it's going to be B'dayim L'matzav Islam Yisrael. It's just going to be the same way the Jewish people were Erev HaYetziyah Mimitzayim on the eve of the Exodus. Af B'yameinu Ela, so it is in our day. Aleinu L'zakais B'mitzvahs is Eilu Shem Arum Min HaMitzvahs. That we have a job to do. Hashem did it for us last time in a very direct fashion. But now Hashem expects us to pick up the slack. Now we're supposed to do it. We don't have a prophet amongst us. Hashem doesn't come and speak to us and give us specific mitzvahs. But at the same time, He gave us a Torah. And He gave us 24 books, the whole Tanakh. And He gave us the Teirish Baal Peh. He gave us the Gemara. And He gave us the Medrash. And He gave us all the Rishayim, all the Acharim. We have everything we need. Hashem doesn't have to speak to us. Everything is available now. We just have to do it. You see a Yid who's naked from a mitzvah, give him a mitzvah. Because in this redemption, all of the Jewish people will be redeemed. Last time, lots of people got left behind. This time, everybody's got to come. So therefore, a person says, oh, you put on tefillin with somebody one time. Ah, what did you accomplish? You put on tefillin every day. One time, you gave him matzah. He ate matzah once. What's going to be accomplished? And the answer is, what are you talking about? Do you understand how we left Mitzrayim? We were naked from mitzvahs. And what took us out of that nudity? One mitzvah. You help a yid, you're giving him one mitzvah, you transform him. Because since every yid has to go out, there should be no yid in the world, that won't be left naked of mitzvahs. So when everybody gets even one mitzvah, he's a changed person already. He's a changed person, a different kind of person. You put him in film once in his life even, he's a changed person. You give him a matzah, what's going to accomplish? I don't know what he'll do at the Seder. He'll eat matzah the night of Pesach. That's already something powerful and meaningful. It already becomes a key to unlocking a glorious new future with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira b'yameinu amen. L'chaim.